It is 18 minutes past 8 and right now we're going to be chatting about cyber racism. I mean, it's really quite an obvious statement to make that there really isn't a place for racism in contemporary Australia, but unfortunately, living in a networked world does allow the online spread of racial hate. Despite being a multicultural nation, we do still struggle with issues of diversity, and the vastness of the internet does allow the spread of these ideas, unfortunately. Professor Kevin Dunn is the Dean of the School of Social Science and Psychology at Western Sydney University, and he joins us now to have a bit more of a chat. Kevin, thank you so much for speaking to us this morning.
Good morning, Tess.
Could you tell us a little bit about cyber racism and how prominent it is in Australia?
Yes, cyber racism is like racism that is offline, except, of course, that it occurs within blogs and the web, in social media, other forms of social media. In terms of its prominence, we did a survey of about 2,000 Australians a couple of years ago. We did find then that 5% of people felt that they had been targeted themselves with cyber racism. They'd encountered that. About 35% of people said they'd witnessed it. They'd witnessed racism in these environments. And about 2% admitted that they had been authors of cyber racism.
Wow, so people are actually out there saying, yes, that I am being racist online.
Yep, indeed. And of course, it sort of makes sense, doesn't it, that it wouldn't take a lot of people, if they're doing a lot of this material, to have a lot of an impact.
And so is there a difference between the way that groups and individuals do reinforce these ideas online?
There is, Tess, yeah. It's very interesting. We've just done a systematic review of all research in the world between 2005 and 2015, all of the research articles on cyber racism. I reviewed them all, and what we found is that from the findings of all of the researchers around the world, the groups and individuals are a bit different in the way that they do their cyber racism online. And one of the interesting variations is in even the modes or the platforms that they use. So individuals, you know, they're using chat rooms, blogs, forums, community sites, gaming sites even. But for the groups, the far-right groups, etc., they're much more likely to be progressing and advocating their cyber racism through their own websites.
And you do see as well these pictures that come up every now and again that people do label as, racist propaganda, and fairly so a lot of the time. How big of a role does this propaganda play in the world of cyber racism?
Well, it's very important, of course. I mean, if we talk about just those groups, first of all, who are the more coordinated and organised in this regard, they are purposefully attempting to build community. I mean, they are attempting to build political groups, political communities of similar mind, so that they can mobilise politically to advance their narrow, exclusionary and racist aims. And so the better the rhetoric, the more effective it is, the better for them. And they're very careful and very strategic about what they put on their websites.
And so do we have any, systems or regulations in place at the moment to try and combat race hate in an online space?
Not as much as we would be comfortable with. I think given, in some respects, it's a new set of environments, although they've been with us for some time now. I think we have been too slow to get our regulatory house in order here. There are a couple of e-security legislations which protect young people from race hate bullying in particular. But beyond that, no, we're not doing much to regulate these environments, and I think that's regrettable. Because this is a new aspect of our lives now. This is the way we as humanity will live large parts of our lives. And if we don't get the regulation of our civility and our rules of interactions right here, then it will be regrettable for a long time. So we've got to get this right. We need to better regulate. We can better regulate. We know that. We've been involved in some research attempting to use words and also linguistic tools that identify the emotions in small amounts of text that can red flag a piece of text, then check the tweet history or the social media history, particularly where it's public, of a tweeter, and then make pretty firm and reliable decisions about whether this is material which actually shouldn't be allowed to be seen even. So we can block this stuff. We can certainly regulate better for it.
So moving forward, what would you like to see in terms of, well, potentially regulations?
Well, definitely regulation. Regulation that enables blocking. In fact, regulation which mandates the blocking of material which has no public or democratic right to exist. I'm not talking about debate material which is on the edge of racist. Often that is the case, but that's okay. Sometimes that's part of the argument of ideas. But the stuff which we just know is purposely intended to hurt and denigrate, that doesn't really have any democratic right to belong. And so we should have the regulatory arrangements that allow that blocking. In fact, that mandate it.
Kevin, we really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much for chatting to us.
Not a rare at all, Tess. Great fun.
That was Professor Kevin Dunn. He is the Dean of the School of Social Science and Psychology at Western Sydney University, chatting with us this morning about the realities of online race hate and on combating cyber racism.